the peril of procrastination. Now, I have to admit that I had been thinking about preaching on this topic for a long time, but I kept putting it off. It's more important than we might think. I'm not really talking particularly about all those little things in life about which we procrastinate, though we all have our lists. They're not unimportant, but they're not my primary theme this morning. I mean, there are those things, you know, you have, and as I say this with the word you, be assured that I'm including myself, because I know this territory well. You have things in your world that you've proposed to do. Some of them may be kind of small, but they just never quite get done. They're there, you know, that tap that drips, you've told someone you were going to fix. Those little things that we plan to do, we intend to do, and yet somehow, after even a fairly long time, there's still something we're living with. You know, if you're a list maker, as I tend to be, you make lists of things you hope to do, whether it's a daily thing or a weekly thing or just a general list of intentions. There are some things that stay on the list a long time. And you know, you get kind of tired writing them over again when you start a new list because they're still there. And some of them you eventually just cross off because they embarrass you too much. And those are the practical things of life, you know, just the ordinary things. But these also are representative of the fact that from a spiritual perspective, we also can be procrastinators with spiritual things. And I mean, in some practical things, you know, you get your comeuppance fairly quickly. If you don't pay your hydro bill, your lights go off. And presuming you didn't fail to pay your bill because you didn't have the resources to do so, but simply because you didn't get around to it, the absence of light serves as a very powerful reminder. Now, in saying spiritual, it doesn't always work that way, though sometimes it does. By that I mean that we can be neglectful of spiritual things without God necessarily picking us up by the scruff of the neck and shaking us. We go along saying, yes, I intend to do that. I want to do that. And yet we don't quite carry through. Now, the intent of this reflection this morning is not to make you guilty or feel guilty. Actually, you know, when we procrastinate, we feel guilty already. We just try and suppress it. And if we can deal in some ways with procrastination in our spiritual lives, then we actually get relief from guilt. Because my intention is not to suggest new things about which you should be doing things, but those things that are already on your list, because every one of us has some things that we have resolved to do that relate to our spiritual lives. we may not have been quite as conscious of them, as specifically conscious of them, as some other things that we write on a to-do list. Although, frankly, a to-do list for spiritual things is not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, we've said to ourselves, well, you know, I ought to do that. I really must. I should. And yet, somehow, other things intercede, and it stops there. Perhaps we've made some resolutions along the way, or declarations at least, about the faith in terms of reading the Word, or learning more about this faith that we profess. And we had those thoughts with sincerity and an earnest and sincere intention to act on them, but somehow, because life continues to exert various pressures on us and our time, we don't quite get there. Or we start, and then we falter. Maybe it's something, you know, so ordinary and so simple. I mean, for instance, perhaps someone said, you know that little book we have, a little green book, Living Faith? I actually intended to take a copy of that home and read it through. I never got around to doing it. Simple things like that, because procrastination is made up not usually of the most, the largest things in life, but is this combination of intentions and purposes that don't get completed. You know, we resolve to pray more often, to find a better place, a more regular place in our lives for prayer and for just reflecting about the faith. And that's a sincere intention. But so very often, we find ourselves not really carrying through on it. Not at least as we intended, because it's not to say we don't pray, it's just that we intended to strengthen that part of our spiritual living, and then somehow life gets in the way. You know, perhaps in terms of our faith, it's the living out of it. We think of people around us that need care, attention, an assurance of love, and we think, well, I should come and talk to that person, or I should go see them, or I should send them a card, just to encourage them in the faith and to remind them that they are remembered in prayer. And the thought is a great one, and yet it just somehow doesn't always happen. I read a great line about procrastination recently. Little character said, you know, I am a multitasking procrastinator. I can put off a whole bunch of stuff all at the same time. And we chuckle about such lines, but yet they're often true to our living. And so I just encourage you this morning to begin to think about this matter of our lives and our spiritual relationship with the Lord, and what interference in it, procrastination may possibly have had. And the services in the next couple of weeks are going to actually follow up on this theme. Because it's not, you see, when we procrastinate, it's not because we didn't really mean it in the first place, usually. Oh, I mean, sometimes we say things casually that we didn't think through very well. But often it's, you know, we started with the very, very best of intentions before the Lord to do something which we believed would represent a better reflection of the faith that we profess, or a better faithfulness in service to the Lord. And we were very sincere about that. And yet somehow, the resolution has slipped away from us. As I said, one of the perils of spiritual procrastination is that it's not always that something immediately happens as a consequence. I mean, if you've got a dripping tap at home and you don't take care of it, there may be someone in your world who will remind you from time to time that you haven't taken care of that little issue. But with spiritual things, we can drift along for a long time in a routine which needs refreshing. And here we are as people who already have intentions and desires to strengthen our reflection of the faith in our lives, and yet we falter in carrying through on these things. So it is for us to be reminded that, you know, the Lord desires us to be faithful. Now, sometimes it may be that our resolutions weren't good ones. But more often the case is, I'm sure, that we simply haven't begun to work them out. Two scripture lessons this morning, both in somewhat indirect ways, had to do with procrastination. One was a part of that account of Moses and Pharaoh, as Moses, on behalf of Israel, makes an appeal to Pharaoh to let the people leave, or at least in the beginning go out to worship and gather as God's people. And, you know, Pharaoh listens to this, and Moses, on the Lord's behalf, gives him a warning, and he doesn't act. And in the particular segment that was read this morning by Carol, the frogs came. Did you catch that description? Wasn't a very great time. They were everywhere. And then Pharaoh says, you know, well, okay, if you stop the frogs, I'll let Israel go out. And the frogs stop. And Pharaoh says, well, that's better. Maybe I can just forget about that letting them go part. But Pharaoh's not dealing with just Moses. Pharaoh's dealing with God. And so the pain consequences continue. And of course, you probably know the whole story, but if you want to refresh your mind on it, just go back to Exodus and read a little further, and you know how the story comes out. Jesus told the little story about the slave placed in charge of the other slaves in the master's absence. He was supposed to faithfully manage the affairs amongst the slaves of the household. And his master went away. Now, as Jesus put it, the wise and faithful servant continued on with the task. But the servant who began to appreciate his new authority without accepting the responsibility that went with it, began to neglect his responsibilities to care well for the master's household. And, you know, the master had been gone for a while. Nothing was happening. There didn't seem to be any consequence of his unfaithfulness. But Jesus makes the point in the story that when the day of reckoning comes for the unfaithful slave, the consequences are dramatic and unpleasant. And as I say, God is a God of grace and is very generous in his graciousness toward us, as we each one have experienced. And yet he is never to be toyed with, never to be ignored or dismissed, because the Lord is the Lord and invites faithfulness from his people. So, think about this matter of procrastination as it applies to spiritual things in your world. What are the things that you have in recent times resolved to do concerning the living out of your faith, and how are they going? And what things, because I'm almost sure that for all of us there are things there that we haven't acted upon. What are those things? And what ought we to do? And where ought we to go? All for the intention that we may be more faithful followers of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, I leave this with you. Think about it. Come back next week and we'll talk some more. Because, incidental as some of this may seem, it nevertheless is important for our lives of faith and faithfulness. This is good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.